And go to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. And there's a question that's in your handout there that I want you to look at with me this morning. I want you to answer that for me. Look at the top of your handout. It says, is a person saved and brought into a right relationship with God by his good works? What's the answer, yes or no? The answer is no. Look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, okay? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show you from the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved. How am I saved? Through what? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And then the Bible says in verse 9, not of what? Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So am I saved by my good works? What's the answer? No. The Bible is very clear that nobody is saved from the penalty of their sins by being good enough. We are saved by God's grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And you may be here this morning, and you may not know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. You're not sure that heaven is your home. You're not sure that your sins have been forgiven. You're unsure of your eternal destiny. And I want you to know that if the thing that's going through your mind is, I wonder if I'm good enough to go to heaven, that's the wrong thought really to be having. It's not a question of whether you're good enough. The Bible has already established that none of us are good enough. We've all sinned and come up short. Amen? And none of us are good enough. We've all sinned. We've all come up short. So the issue is Jesus Christ and what you will do with Jesus Christ. Whether you will accept Him and what He did for you on the cross for your sin, or whether you will choose to reject Him. Let me ask you another question. It's in your handout. It says, does God expect good works from His children after they are saved? Yes or no? The answer to that one is yes. And if we read the next verse, Ephesians 2, verse 10. Look at it with me. Ephesians 2, 10 in your Bible. For we are His workmanship. The Bible says we are created in Christ Jesus unto, everybody say it with me, what is it? Good works. I'm created as a new person in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Our good works should, I guess I should say should good works be a normal part of the Christian life? Absolutely. In fact, you were created by God as a new person in Christ, if you're saved today, for the purpose of doing good works. God's Word says that we should walk in them. What does that mean? That I should walk in them. That just means it should be a way of life. It means that good works ought to be a way of life. You ought to be known at work, not just as a Christian, but you should be known as a Christian that's full of good works. You know, at work, or wherever you go, the restaurant that you go into all the time. Should the people in the restaurant, should they think that you are a kind person if you're a Christian? They better. That's right. God desires to fully equip you to serve Him and to do good works for Him. I want you to look at the screen at 2 Timothy 2:21. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet. That means fitting. That means that you're fit. You're fit, you're meet for the master's what? Use. And notice he says, you are prepared unto every good work. I want you to look at the next verse on the screen. Again, 2 Timothy 3:17 says, that the man of God may be perfect. That means mature. Throughly furnished unto all good works. Do a study sometime if you like to study your Bible, and I hope you do. Do a study sometime on good works in Paul's epistles, Paul's 13 books. And you'll find this subject of good works coming up time and time again. We are not saved by our good works. We are saved by grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. You are saved by faith alone. But Once you are saved, God expects you to do good works. God expects you, He has ordained that you should walk in good works. God has ordained that you should serve Him. And that, and of course, the way we serve God is by serving others. God likens the church to a building. Look at chapter 2 again, Ephesians 2 and verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together, talking about the church, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom, in Christ, ye also are builded together. How many of you are saved? Raise your hand if you know the Lord. All right, put them back down. We are builded together. We are builded together. I said, we are builded together. Amen. Are y'all awake out there, huh? That's the reason we don't turn the heat on too much, right? But we are builded together. Say that with me. We are what? Builded together. That's right. We are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We have been built, you have been built to serve God. You are God has built you to serve Him and to do good works for Him. That could not be clearer from the Word of God. Now, we could just spend the whole morning looking at verses where Paul talks about good works in the believer's life. We're not going to do that. I think we've seen enough to know you were ordained by God as a Christian to bring forth good works, to serve Him. All right, so that's clear. Now, there are several building blocks that God is going to use in your life to prepare you to serve Him effectively and to prepare you to make an impact on others for Jesus Christ. And I'm not just talking to adults here. All right, I'm talking about teenagers. I started serving the Lord as a teenager, and I loved it. I just enjoyed it. I got saved as a teenager. I got plugged into a church, and I immediately began serving the Lord. And man, I tell you, I just enjoyed it. In fact, that's why I surrendered to the ministry. I just enjoyed it so much. I said, I want to do this with my life. You know, I love this. I worked with my brother in junior church and in the bus ministry, picking up kids. And then pretty soon I got involved with music at our church. I thought, man, I just want to spend my life doing this. It was a desire of my heart. I surrendered myself to the ministry. You see, there are several building blocks that God uses in your life to prepare you to serve Him. Now, I'm only going to cover one today, but there's like six. So we're going to take several weeks on this subject. And I want you, by God's grace, to see in a new light, maybe in a new way like you've never seen before, how that God has prepared and equipped you and built you to serve Him. Now, the number one thing, first of all, I want to hit this, and this is the first point and only point for this morning, all right? And I know some of you are like, yes, just one point today. Several sub-points. No, I'm just kidding. All right, number one is this. All right, first building block God uses to prepare you to serve Him is your past. All right, I want you to write that in. It's your past. All right, I'm going to ask you a tough question. You ready for this? How many of you in here have a past? Come on, if you're breathing, you have a past, right? If you were alive yesterday, you have a past, right? If we're living and breathing, we have a past. You know, and we laugh, but it's so true. We all have a past, or we wouldn't be alive. It's like sometimes I play around, you know, and I'll tease kids, and they'll tell me something that happened. You know, oh yeah, I did this with my mama or my dad, and I'll say, oh yeah, back when you were younger? No, last week. And I'll say, you weren't younger last week? And they'll think, was I younger last week? You know. But yeah, we all have a past. Now, it may be a tale of the good, the bad, and the ugly, but we all have a past. Amen? Your past is unique to you. Now, in your handout, it says, much of your past you had no choice about. None of us got to choose our parents, did we? You okay? A lot of your past you had no choice about. You had no choice who your parents would be. You had no choice what your home life would be like. You had no choice where you would be born. You had no choice about the financial status of the home that you were born and raised in. My boys were interviewing their grandmothers, Denise's mom and my mom, and they were doing it for a school project, and they were interviewing Denise and I's mothers this past week. And they were asking them questions, you know, what's your religious background? What was the home like that you were raised in? What was your happiest moment in your life? What's been the saddest moment of your life? And they were asking them a series of questions like that. And my mother was raised in Louisiana, and she told the boys when they asked, what kind of home were you raised in? In her Louisiana accent, she said, oh, we were poor. Well, in Louisiana, poor means poor, all right? And she kept saying, oh, we were poor, we were poor. But we didn't know we were poor because everybody else was poor, you know. And so I told Denise back when we got married, I said, look, we're going to see my grandmother. I said, she lives in a shack. And Denise didn't believe me until she got there. And she looked and she said, that's a shack. Yeah, that is a shack. And no heat, you know, outside bathroom. I mean, the works, you know. And my mom was raised. She had no choice in that. You don't have any kind of choice what kind of home you're born in. You didn't have a choice how many siblings you'd have. Some of you wish you'd had fewer, right? But you had no choice. You had no choice about many of the childhood events that you experienced. You had no choice about your teachers, your name. You know, some of you don't like your name. They didn't consult you on that, did they? They didn't wait till you were 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 and then saying, okay, now what do you want your name to be? You know, you had no choice about the things that you went through, you were exposed to, maybe you endured, how many times your family moved. So a lot of your past you had no choice about. But the second thing I want you to get in your handout is this. On the other hand, some of your past may be filled with wrong decisions and sinful acts. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 2. Ephesians 2, 2. Wherein in time past, he tells these Christians, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. These believers that Paul was writing to had a past, and it wasn't all pretty. How many of you can relate to that? Amen? It wasn't all pretty. They had a past. They fulfilled the lust of their flesh, their desires, and their lust of their mind. Look up at the screen and notice Peter writes to the little flock of believing Jews. And he says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. He writes to these believers and they had a past. And it wasn't pretty. Paul, who wrote the book of Ephesians, had quite a past. He talked a lot about his past. Paul talked about where he was born. He talked about where he was from. He talked about how he was raised. He talked about his religious background. Not only that, Paul talked about his behavior. There are over 25 verses in your Bible that deal with Paul's ruthless, bloody, and barbaric behavior before he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Your past is part of who you are. For good or bad, it's part of who you are. And Paul knew that. And Paul did not hesitate to talk about it. Now let me make one thing real clear. In your handout it says, Satan desires to destroy you with your past. But God desires to use it for His glory. Satan wants to destroy you with your past, but God wants to use it for His glory. Now, I know some of you in here are skeptical, and some of you right now are thinking in your mind, but you don't understand, Pastor Dan. I come from a messed up family. I have a rough background. Some of you in here are here and you're thinking, man, I was an addict. I was part of a gang. You know, I had an abortion. I had numerous abortions. I've been through, you don't know my past. I've got a past like you wouldn't believe. And it's messed up. Do you realize who that qualifies you to work with? Huh? You realize who that qualifies you to work with? You see, many times we use our past as an excuse why we cannot serve God, but God desires to use it. Whatever you've gone through, do you think other people are struggling with that? Do you think other people have been through it? Whatever you've gone through, you can relate to others that may be going through the same circumstances. You understand because you've been there. And you can minister to them. Last night they had a single mom's dinner, and they're starting a kind of revamping and renewing and getting our single mom's ministry geared up and going again. And if you've ever heard Melissa, I don't know if she's in here this morning or not. Is she back in the overflow? But if you've ever heard Melissa, Melissa very open about her testimony, and she shares it. And she's like Paul, you know. It's not that she's proud of it, but she doesn't hesitate to talk. And you talk to Melissa about her past, and there's pain, and there's hurt, and there's wrong choices, and there's things in her past that from a human perspective, you think, wow. But you know what? She is using that to help other women to the glory of God, to help teenagers who are struggling with the same things she went through as a teenager. You know, raised by a single mom, was a single mom. And so she's taken her past and she's using it to help people. In your handout, it says you cannot change your past, but you can change the meaning of it. You cannot change your past, but you can change the meaning of it. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, here's what I mean. Your past may include a lot of hurtful acts. Your past may include a lot of really bad, bad decisions. Now look up here. You can end up looking at that past and kind of throw your hands up in the air and get a woe is me attitude. And you can look at your past and say, yep, that's why I am the way I am. Yep, that's what's destroyed my life. Or you can look at your past and you can look at that and say, wow, that's how much Jesus Christ has changed my life. Wow, you know what? That's why, you see my past? It's tattered. But you know what? That's why I'm able to help so many people today. And that's why I'm able to serve God the way I do. You know what you just did? You didn't change your past. Your past is your past. You can't do anything about that. But you know what you just did? You changed the meaning of it. You change the meaning of it. Now it's no longer something that's destroyed you. It's no longer viewed as, oh, my past. Yeah, that's the source of my destruction. No, no, no. Now you've turned it around and made it something constructive. Now your message is, I'm an overcomer through Christ, and you can be too. That's your message. This is vividly demonstrated for us in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 21 through 32. These believers had a past that was full of corruption, deceitful lust. They were idolaters. And in chapter 4, and you look at this. Look at verse number 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, that's your old life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. These people had a past. You know what it involved? It involved corruption. It involved deceitful lust. The Bible calls that our old man. And that in verse 22, put off the old man. Because it's capable. By the way, you know, we talk about our past. That doesn't just necessarily mean before you knew Jesus. Could be last week. Hey, can we still mess up after we're saved and live according to the old man? Can we choose to do that? Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we talk about our past. There's not a one of us in here who hadn't messed up and made bad decisions since we've been saved. See, and our past behavior, our sinful past, is a product of that previous identity. Bible calls it the old man. That's what our identity was, corrupt. But look at verse 21. Look what Paul says in verse 21. He said in verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Hey, these people had trusted Jesus Christ. They had been taught God's word. And you know what? Their minds were being renewed by the word of God. Look at verse 22. Verse 24. Notice it, or I'm sorry, 23. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." So their mind, look, they had a tattered past. That was their old identity. But they had trusted Christ. They'd been taught God's word. Their minds were being renewed through God's word. And now God had made them new people in Christ. They had a new identity. Look at verse 24. He says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Hey, their identity was no longer the old man. They had a new identity in Christ. What was it? Well, look back at chapter 1. Can you do that? Look at the first verse of the book, chapter 1, verse 1. Let's flip back there. Ephesians 1, 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now look what he calls these people. Remember, they had lived corruptly, deceitful lust. They had walked according to the course of the world. They had fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind. But look what he calls them. He calls these people with this corrupt past. He calls them, notice, he says, "I'm writing to the," what? "Saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus." He calls them saints. If you're saved today, you have a new identity. And you know what your identity is? It's not, "Well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace." No, that's not your identity. That is not your identity. You're not an old sinner saved by grace. Yeah, you were a sinner, and yes, you've been saved by grace, but that's not your identity now. Your identity now is you're a saint in Christ Jesus. That's your new identity. See, their lives have been changed. Now, go back to chapter 4. Let me show you something here. Notice their past life included a lot of lying, a lot of lies. They lived a lot of lies. Look at verse 25. Ephesians 4:25. "Wherefore, putting away lying." Now, wait a minute. Hold on. If they have to put it away, then that means that's what they were doing. Right? So they were liars. Their background was one of untruth, lying all the time. He said, "But you got a new identity. So put away lying," and then look what he says, "speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Hey, you know they used to be very dishonest. They used to be thieves. They thought nothing of stealing. Look at verse 25, 28. "Let him that stole," notice how they had thieves in the church, "let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Hey, did you know they used to be able to cuss a blue streak? Look at verse 29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." He says, notice, "but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." He said, you guys used to be able to cuss a blue streak. You thought nothing about cursing and swearing and using God's name in vain. Corrupt communication. He said, but you know what? That's not you anymore. You got a new identity. That's your past. And your past is your past. But he said, you know what? Now you're going to speak things that minister grace to people. And they edify. And they build up people. You're not going to talk that way anymore. You see, their lives had been changed. No longer, look at verse 31. No longer were they going to be bitter and angry people Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, let that be put away from you. Verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. He said, you know what? No longer is your identity going to be you're just a bitter person. You're just a bitter, angry, mean, ornery person. No, so now you're going to be known as a forgiving, kind, tenderhearted person. Why? Because Christ is changing you. Their lives were changed. They were now children of light. Look at chapter 5. Go over to chapter 5, verse 8. Notice their new identity. Verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You know, Paul, the guy who wrote this, wrote 13 books of the Bible. Hey, church, listen. Hey, Paul did not hesitate or avoid talking about his past. He really did. Like I said, there are over 25 verses in your Bible where Paul talks. One of them, he talks about how he was a blasphemer. He talks about how he was an abusive, violent man. He talks about how he persecuted the church and how he attacked Christians and how he abused them and how he would drag men and women out of their homes to prison. He talked about his past. And it wasn't that he was glorifying his sinful past. No, he was using it for God's glory to show how God had changed his life. Paul used that when he would talk about his past. Paul used that to demonstrate the difference that Jesus had made in his life. The darker a room is, the more the light stands out. And you know what? You may be here this morning and your past may be dark. But what an opportunity for you to shine the light of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul did not shy away from his past. But in your handout, it says that Paul used his past as a tool to reach people. Paul did not shy away from it. He used it as a tool to reach people. Go to Galatians, the book right before Ephesians. And go to Galatians chapter 1. Let me give you an example here. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1 verse 13. Galatians 1 13. The Bible says, Paul writes, verse 13, for ye have heard of my conversation, his life in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Now look down at verse 23. But they, talking about the churches, they had heard only, talking about Paul, that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Paul had a bloody, painful past. But he said, you know what? I'm using it as a tool to reach people. And you know what? Some of you in here this morning, Satan has probably convinced you that your past disqualifies you from serving God. Some of you have thought about going into the ministry, but you think your past disqualifies you. You know, one of the things I love about when Paul writes about that a bishop must be this and a deacon must be this, aren't you thankful that he puts that in the present tense and not the past tense? You know, a pastor doesn't have to have always been all those things. Because he knows most of these people he's writing to were idolaters. You know, they were and heathen idolaters involved in every kind of wicked things imaginable. These are the kind of churches that Paul worked with and founded. People with quite a tattered past. But he said, no, this is what you need to be, present tense. This is how you should be presenting yourself. Aren't you thankful that when it comes to serving God, it's not a question of your past. It's a question of what's God doing in your life right now. What's he doing now in your life? What's he doing in your life right now? And there could be people in here this morning that, you know, or you're listening online and you think, man, you know, I'd love to be a pastor. I'd love to be a youth director. I'd love to work in the ministry. Or I'd love to be a missionary. Or I'd love to do this or that. But you think, man, my past disqualifies me from ever doing something. Or some of you are in here, you think, man, I just like to teach a class in the church. Or I'd like to, you know, work and be an usher. Or I'd like to sing in the choir. Or I'd like to be a part of an outreach event. Or I'd like to do this or that. But you think, well, but my past, you know, God doesn't want me to serve Him because of my past. Or the church wouldn't want me because of my past. And Satan loves to convince people that your past disqualifies you from serving God. But the truth of the matter is, your past is one of the very things that God will use in serving Him. You have been built to serve God. And you know what? Whether we like it or not, your past is part of that. Your past is part of that. We learn that from Paul's life. Paul was built to serve God, and he said he was a pattern to those which should hereafter believe. And part of Paul's service was his past, and he used it. We learn that from Paul, our pattern. You know, I mean, why do you think Shannon works so well with the Freedom Found Addictions ministry? Why do you think he does so well? Because he's been there. He's open about that. He's told you how he was an alcoholic big time and the things he struggled with. Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. Do you think he understands what other people are going through, huh? Yeah, absolutely. Grief share. Now think about the Schoenwetters right here. You know, do you think the Schoenwetters understand grief? I think they do. And we know what they've been through. And we know that they understand that grieving process. And I know their heart's bigger for that ministry than it's ever been. Because they've been there. And they know what that's like. And they know how vulnerable a person is when they're going through grieving. And what I'm trying to say is that, you know, whether it's single moms or addictions or this or that, whatever your past is, that doesn't disqualify you. That's part of the building blocks that make you and that prepare you to serve the Lord. And in your handout, it says you can despise your past. You can despise it. That's your choice. You can let it make you bitter. You can say, man, I was in a home and I grew up in a home where I was abused. And you can get bitter and you can be angry and you can be so mad about that your whole life. Or you can say, you know what? There are other people that have been through abuse. There are other people that are going through that right now. You know what? I want to help them for the glory of God. I'm going to take my past and I'm going to use it to help people that are struggling and that went through the same thing. You may be here and say, man, I went through an abortion and I know what that's all about and I know what comes with that. And I want to help girls and try to help them. And I know many, of the ones that work at the crisis pregnancy centers and these different places and that do these things, they have a heart for it. Why? Because of their past. So you can let your past make you bitter or you can accept it, learn from it. And in your handout, it says, you can use your past to help others. You can use it to help others. Aren't you glad you don't have to have a perfect lily white past to serve God? Isn't that great? You know, I think sometimes what happens is we get saved and we go to church and we get cleaned up and we get us a Bible and we get to talking Christian talk and saying brother to each other and sister and praise the Lord, you know. And we learn all the Christian lingo and we got the Bible under our arm and we look, I am a Christian and I look and smell and act like one. And we're afraid to just open up and say, man, listen, I hadn't always been this way, let me tell you. And we're afraid to just be real and just open up and use, and let folks know that, hey, look, there's a past there. In your handout, it says, God wants to take you and your past, and he wants to use you to serve him and impact lives as only you can. Next week, come back. We're going to do part two and see how we've been built to serve God. There's other building blocks. Next week, we're going to learn what those are.